Morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Christ Chapel on this September 11th, 2016. Just a few announcements before we get started this day. First of all, we'll be using the ELW at different parts, especially for those of you that are first year. I'll say the red book, and there's two reddish-looking books in there, and then we've got like this remix going on because half of the people are reading in one book and half will be going in the other. This is not a remix service, so we really want you to go, when you see it, this one right here is the one that you'll see a couple different hymns in, which we'll be singing from today. We also have Holy Communion this morning, so again, it's always worth saying every single Sunday, if you feel so compelled to participate in the sacrament of Holy Communion, you are welcome to do so. We will commune by method of intinction. There'll be a station here and a station here. You'll receive a piece of bread and you'll dip it into the chalice. There is the dark wine and then there is the light grape juice again. And for those of you that are gluten-free, there is also gluten-free wafers there for your choosing. So please tell your communion server when you come forward. Also, again, especially since it's the beginning of the school year, just a reminder that in the bulletin itself, the regular print pieces there are for the leader, and the bold print are for the congregation. So again, it's great to have you all here this morning. I invite you to stand and please face the procession of Christ.
In the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come if you have a weak faith. Come if you are convinced in the strength of your convictions. Come so that you might be strengthened and challenged. Lead us into life, O God. Come if you are chased by the demands of others. Come if you feel threatened by a loss of security. Come so that you might be strengthened and challenged. Lead us into life, O God. Come if you need forgiveness. Come if you need strength to forgive others. Come so that you might be challenged and strengthened. Lead us into life. God of smoke by day and fire by night, we gather to worship even as we continue to respond and recover from the events of September 11th, 2001 and its aftermath. We remember how we felt as we witnessed those attacks. We know how the mere mention of that date affects us still. We grieve the loss of life, the families that have been torn apart, the facade of national security cracked, and the wars which continue to wreak havoc upon your global community. Your word tells us that we go on, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit. Strengthen us for the challenges of justice, forgiveness, and community building. Challenge us when we veer off course. Guide our feet as you lead us on the journey into abundant life for all. We pray in the name of Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
forgiveness for ourselves and to forgive those who have sinned against us. Let us pray. Holy God, when we seek security only in military and economic forces and not in knowledge of your presence, when we become concerned with our well-being only and so fail to see the consequences of our choices upon the lives of others, forgive our worldview. Open our eyes to see others as persons with whom we are connected in the web of life. When we rejoice in the downfall and defeat of our enemies, forgive our misplaced loyalties. Open our hearts to see our enemies as our sisters and brothers in your family. When we fail to forgive others and allow ourselves to be caught in the mire of grudges held, forgive our enemies. Open us to reconciliation. When we are faced with a sea of trouble, whether of our own making or cast upon us by the action of others, God of life, part the waters of regret and revenge, and lead us into dry grounds of forgiveness. God is compassionate and does not deal with us according to our sins, but casts them as far away from us as the east is from the west. Free of the mistakes of the past, we can begin again.
Thanks be to God.
Gracious God, move us this morning. Move us from despair to hope. Move us from isolation to community, from war to peace, from death to life. Grounded in our relationships with you, those in this space, and those of every tribe and nation, of every kindred and tongue, move us, so that together we might build your beloved community on earth as it is in heaven. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from Romans. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Holy Wisdom, Holy Word.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely, on my account. The good news given for you.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. On September 11th, 2001, at 8:45 a.m., clear Tuesday morning, American Airlines Boeing 767, loaded with 20,000 gallons of jet fuel, crashed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center in New York City. The impact left a gaping, burning hole near the 80th floor of the 110-story skyscraper, instantly killing hundreds of people and trapping hundreds more. As the evacuation of the tower and its twin got underway, television cameras broadcasted live images of what initially appeared to be a freak accident. But then, 18 minutes after the first plane hit, a second Boeing 767, United Airlines Flight 175, appeared out of the sky, turned sharply towards the World Trade Center and sliced into the South Tower near the 60th floor. The collision caused a massive explosion that showered burning debris over surrounding buildings and the streets below. At that point, it became clear that the nation was under attack. As millions watched the events unfold in New York, American Airlines Flight 77 circled over downtown Washington, D.C., and eventually slammed into the west side of the Pentagon military headquarters at 9:45 a.m. Jet fuel from the Boeing 757 caused a devastating inferno that led to the structural collapse of a portion of the giant concrete building. 125 military personnel and civilians were killed in the Pentagon, along with 64 people aboard the airliner. Less than 15 minutes later, the horror in New York took a catastrophic turn when the South Tower of the World Trade Center collapsed in a massive cloud of dust and smoke. The structural steel of the skyscraper, built to withstand winds in excess of 200 miles per hour, could not withstand the heat generated by the burning jet fuel. And then at 10:30 a.m., the other Trade Center tower collapsed. Close to 3,000 people died in the World Trade Center and its vicinity, including a staggering 343 firefighters, 23 New York City police officers, and 37 Port Authority police officers who were struggling to complete an evacuation of the buildings and save the office workers trapped on higher floors. Only 6 people in the World Trade Center towers at the time of their collapse survived. Almost 10,000 others were treated for injuries, many of which were severe. Meanwhile, a fourth plane, United Flight 93, was hijacked about 40 minutes after leaving Newark International Airport in New Jersey. Because the plane had been delayed in taking off, passengers on board learned of the events in New York and Washington through cell phone and airplane calls to the ground. Knowing that the aircraft was not returning to the airport as the hijackers claimed, a group of passengers and flight attendants made a plan. The passengers fought the 4 hijackers and are suspected to have attacked the cockpit with a fire extinguisher. The plane flipped and flipped and flipped and sped towards the ground at 500 miles per hour, crashing in a rural field in western Pennsylvania at 10:10 a.m. All 45 people were killed. Its intended target is not known. Less than 1 month later, on October 7th, 2001, the United States led effort to oust the Taliban in Afghanistan and dismantle Osama bin Laden's network intensified. Within 2 months, United States forces had effectively removed the Taliban from operational power, but the war continued. And it continued. And it continued. Osama bin Laden, known as the mastermind behind these attacks, remained at large until May 2nd, 2011, when he was tracked down and killed by U.S. forces in Pakistan. In June 2011, President Obama announced the beginning of a large-scale troop withdrawal from Afghanistan. Yet the war continues. And today, 15 years after September 11th, 2001, like many others around the country, you and I remain tormented by what took place. But I want to challenge you this morning. Because we should be tormented not only because of what happened that day, but also because September 11th, 2001 was by no means the first September 11th. There are moments in history that we choose to remember and others that we simply choose to forget. And as citizens of this country, so often blinded by patriotism and nationalism, as people of God and as people of Jesus, when we see hashtag never forget, I wonder what it is that we're choosing. must never forget the larger picture, in remember of the totality of human sadness recognized on this day. September 11th, 2001 was not the first of September 11th. For example, in Latin America, what is often called literally the first September 11th happened on September 11th, 1973. When the United States succeeded in its intensive efforts to overthrow the democratic government of Chile with a military coup that placed General Pinochet's brutal regime brutally into office. Do we remember that? Do we remember that September 11, 1973 was in many ways far more brutal than September 11, 2001? But of course, history is written by those in power. Some events we choose to remember more than others. In 1973, when the United States overthrew the government of Chile, President Richard Nixon said his goal was to kill the virus that might encourage Chile's independent development. In the background of this tap was the conclusion of the U.S. National Security Council that if the United States could not control Latin America, how could it possibly control the rest of the world economically? Henry Kissinger assured President Nixon that nothing of very great consequence happened. But these events of so-called little consequence were of massive consequence to those in Latin America. And this is a hard truth. Our government, was responsible for imposing a brutal military dictatorship in Chile, killing and torturing thousands, all while establishing an international network that helped impose similar torture and terror states elsewhere. And as an extra point of destruction, our government brought in a team who quickly drove the economy of Chile into one of its worst depressions in history. And the consequences of that 9/11 continue to this day. So today we remember September 11th. But not just September 11th, 2001, but we choose to remember September 11th, 1973, and the countless others that you and I don't even know about. And in doing so, we are left deeply distressed by what human beings are capable of doing to one another. Because we have done great harm to others, just as we know others have done great harm to us. For me, as I think about the fullness of September 11th, I'm left distressed with questions of how we look at God. Because when we remember the fullness of September 11th, we recognize a level of human tragedy that leads us to a theological mystery. We wonder, where was God in the midst of all of this? Why did God not do something about this? We see the pictures, the images, the stories, and we say, how could God be God if God didn't do something? And we come up with juvenile excuses to say, well, God must be teaching us a greater lesson, which simply makes God a jerk. We are tormented trying to make sense of God in the context of September 11, 2001, and the countless other September 11s. And we see this tension in our readings today. We hear, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And when we hear the gospel in such ways, we take comfort in this belief that God is with those who suffer. God journeys alongside those who mourn. Thankfully, this conception of a loving God offers relief for victims in New York, Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania, and countless other places around the world. But here's the tough part. While we proclaim this God who is in solidarity with those in pain, we also are told of this God who is present with those who cause the pain. We heard Carl read it from the 8th chapter of Romans not long ago, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We hear those words breeze by us, and we don't recognize how radical that chapter of Romans actually is. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. The good news is that includes you. The tough news is that that includes people you don't want it to. Which means just as Jesus was sent to soothe those who suffer, he also absolves those who cause the suffering. So you and I are left with this God who seems to love the best of us and the worst of us, the most saintly among us and those who we consider the sinners in our midst. So what does this all mean? It means that as we think about the identities of those responsible for what took place 15 years ago, as well as the atrocities of 43 years ago, and as we take a deeper look at our own behaviors and our responses, we are showing the core of who God is. While those to blame for both 9/11 tragedies deserve to be punished for their crimes, we also recognize that the guilty are not any less human than you and I, as hard as that sounds. And how easy it is to label people as monsters, to separate them from us. I don't know about you, but I don't do too well on the I'm perfect scale. I can't imagine that you do either. We've all done different things, some more serious than others. But in the end, we are left with this God that accepts the best of us and the worst of us, and that grace extends to those around us. As Jesus himself died on the cross in the company of criminals, we see that God's eyes were not defined by our worst acts. And even those responsible for evil deeds are offered God's grace. Just as we believe that God is in solidarity with those in pain, we also believe that God does not give up on any of us. Not you, not me, not anyone. Which means that we can support the institutions that hold people accountable for crime. But we can also recognize that each and every one of us falls short. Regardless of who we are, regardless of what we have done, regardless of what we have undone. And this is the comfort and the challenge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The comfort of knowing that you and I are forgiven when you and I have done wrong, but the challenge to know that that grace extends upon those outside of this space. It is the comfort and the challenge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So while I would like to believe that God is disgusted by violence and terrorism, I am also challenged to recognize that God's grace extends. It doesn't mean that we should accept all things. It doesn't mean that everything's cool. But it does mean that we are called to forgive as God first forgave us. Because ultimately, resentment corrodes its container. Resentment corrodes its container. And forgiveness is about unloosening our own chains. So on this September 11th, as we journey forward in the aftermath of terrible tragedy, I hope that we're confronted and comforted by the gospel. This is our path to sustainable peace. It is the example that we receive in Jesus, and our key to unlocking the beauty and freedom of God's kingdom. So I'd like to leave you with these words. Every year, on September 11th, I hear "never forget." Hashtag. Never forget. I often wonder what that means. We all forget something. We all remember some other things. As people of God, what are we choosing to forget and what are we choosing to remember? As people people of God, on this September 11th, what shall we choose to remember? I say, let us remember this. You and I are both offenders and offended. You and I are both guilty and innocent. You and I are both brutal and beautiful. You and I are both responsible and blameless. You and I are both sinners and saints. Let's not forget that. Let's always remember that. Amen.
Gracious God, you delivered your ancient people from slavery, and in the fullness of time sent Jesus the Christ to show us the path through forgiveness to newness of life. As we remember the events of September 11th, 2001, and the years of war since, we find ourselves caught between memories that haunt us and the hope that comes from you. Mere mention of the date launches a myriad of thoughts, images, and emotions. For some, the events are still very fresh, while for others, there is greater distance. Hear us as we pray deliverance for people whose lives are affected on that day or since. Hear our prayer, O God. Let our cry come to you. We remember the innocent victims who died that day or since, and our hearts are moved to grief. We are mindful of broken families, orphans, co-workers, and friends who grieves still. We lift our prayers for all who grieve. Hear our prayer, O God. Let our cry come to you. We remember the selfless women and men who bravely served as first responders, some of whom died or were injured in the process of serving. We thank you for them and for all who contributed towards recovery at Ground Zero in New York City, the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., in a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, or anywhere around the globe where people gathered to comfort or to pray for others. We lift our prayers for their healing, safety, and well-being, for their families, and for their civic and faith communities. Hear our prayer, O God. Let our cry come to you. We remember the selfless men and women who bravely served through the armed forces in Iraq, Afghanistan, and everywhere else around the globe. We remember the sacrifices of those who have died or were wounded in the process of serving. We thank you for them and their service. We lift our prayers for their healing, safety, and well-being, for their families, and for their civic and faith communities. Hear our prayer, O God. Let our cry come to you. War is never an easy choice. We as a nation are still conflicted about that decision. Some of us believe that war is never justified. Others feel deceived. Some others believe a military response is exactly right, and some of us just don't know. Help us bring an end to war as we work for peace with justice in ways that are peaceful. Hear our prayer for the people of Iraq and Afghanistan. Hear our prayer, O God. Let our cry come to you. In these 15 years, much has been done in the name of religious zeal or patriotic fervor that makes a mockery of your name. Our actions have not always been the most honorable. We have killed non-combatant civilians and sent others fleeing from their homelands as refugees. Deliver us from our own desire for revenge. Deliver us from faith that fails to see your image in others, from willing bondage to our own thoughts and desires, and from our reluctance to enter your beloved community. Hear our prayer, O God. Lead us into the land of promise. We are conflicted internally. We pledge allegiance to our nation, while at other times we surrender all to you. Deliver us from fragmentary living, from divided aims and rival loyalties, and from failure to seek and achieve wholeness in thought, word, and deed. Teach us to remember the words of Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all else will be added to you. Deliver us from counterfeit humility, from the modesty that calls attention to itself, from the arrogance which creates the world in our own image, and will not bow to the authority of truth as it is revealed to us. Deliver us from religious selfishness, from the piety that is centered upon safety rather than service, from seeking peace of mind instead of reconciliation with you and all people. We lift our prayers for better understanding among all people, especially Christian-Muslim relations. Hear our prayer, O God. Save us from ourselves. While we cannot imagine what would cause persons to commit such violent acts of terrorism, we know you call us to forgive. Move in our hearts to lead us to that place of radical generosity and love. Teach us to remember the words of Jesus. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Most of all, dear God, move us from despair to hope, from isolation to community, from war to peace, from death to life, grounded on our relationship with you and your people in every tribe and nation, every kindred and tongue, so that together we might build your beloved community on earth as it is in heaven. Teach us to remember the words of Jesus. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. To you, O God, be all glory, honor, and praise, now and forever. The peace of Christ is with you always.
And also with you.
God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen.
People of God, people of life, we gather as a holy communion for a meal that has been shared countless times in countless places and in countless ways. The first time this meal was shared, Jesus gathered around the table with a ragged collection of people. Outcasts, betrayers, the power hungry, and fragile, lonely, lost. The first time this meal was celebrated, Jesus promised that it was for all time. That whenever the bread was broken and wine was poured, wherever the story was told around a table, he would be there. Today we remember the story as it's been told 1,000 times over. We eat the bread and we drink the wine, and we affirm that we all belong at this table and that Jesus is here. So if we come to this table angry, let this bread and wine be our peace. If we come to the table broken, let this bread and wine be our grace. If we come to the table betrayed, let this bread and wine be our wholeness. If we come to the table in despair, let this bread and wine be our life. For this is a holy table, with food to fill a hungry world and wine to quench thirsty hearts. Thanks be to God. Then he took a cup and after giving thanks, passed it to his friends, saying, "Drink. This cup poured out for you is the promise of God. Whenever you drink it, remember me." We remember Jesus' death and resurrection, our hope and our life. We break the bread and share one cup. Thanks be to God. Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, power, and glory of Jesus, now and forever. Amen. All are welcome.
Thank you.
God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Very briefly, Daily Sabbath this week, again, at 10 a.m., all are invited. We had such a wonderful, wonderful time this past week. And for those that want to get more involved in our Sunday worshiping community and a variety of things going on in Christ Chapel, please know that we will have a place at the Activity Fair. The group that is now famously called itself the Chapel Squad will be in full attendance taking registrations for those that want to get more involved in the ministries here emanating from Christ Chapel. And of course, we'll be back here 1 week from today at 10:30. With that being said, receive the blessing.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks.